Good morning. Good to see everyone that was able to be here this morning. Just want to welcome you to 2022. That's exciting, right? Yeah? There's not a lot of cheering going on here. So my hope for you is that this week was perfect for you. I hope it was perfect. No problems, no issues. New year, right? High hopes. My wife, who is a music teacher, she went back to school on Monday and she walked into a flooded classroom where the pipe broke over her room and there was like a waterfall flowing into her room and happened to just land right on her piano, which is completely soaked. And so that was awesome. We took one of our cars to the shop on Wednesday. That was fun. I kept waking up every day, checking the news, hoping that someone important was going to tell me that the pandemic was over, that COVID was completely gone, and that never happened. I checked my bank account every day this past week, and every day more money was gone. I was kind of hoping for the opposite on that. So I had such high hopes for 2022. I really did. Now, obviously you guys know me and I'm being a little bit sarcastic here. I hope you can tell that. But the thing is, it's this. It's 2022, but it's just another year, right? It's just another day. And we need to realize what we've got to realize. If we're going to ever find joy and hope and contentment, is we got to realize that we're living in a broken world. Things break, cars break, our bodies break down. We are living in a world that's full of sinful, broken people. People that we are hurtful to each other, we are selfish, we struggle with sin. We're living in a world where people are scared, they're tired, they're worried, they're depressed. And we come into the new year, we always come into the new year, we set these goals, we make New Year's resolutions, but why do we do that? We do those things so we can fight against the constant brokenness, right? We're like, well, maybe this year I can lose weight. Maybe this year I can exercise more. Maybe this year we're doing these things, we make these goals really just because we are fighting brokenness. But I'm here to remind you that there is hope. There's hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. Amen? That hope is Jesus Christ. You see, the believer, the follower of Christ, understands the brokenness of this world. And yet a true believer can have happiness. And that's the question I have, is do you really believe that? Because things look bad, but they always do because of the brokenness of this world. But the true believer, even in the midst of this, can have happiness. We can have joy. We can have contentment. We can experience blessings even amongst the brokenness. How? How? The answer is this: because our hope, it goes beyond this world. That's because of Jesus. Our hope is eternal. Our hope is not centered on tomorrow waking up and hoping the news is good. That's not where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. We read this in Scripture, the Scripture that God gave us, God's Word that He gave us. His Word shows us this hope. His Word reminds us that He is in control of all things, that in Christ we can find true hope. And I want to share some Scripture with you this morning as we start this new year. So if you are taking notes, even if you just want to write the references down, but these are just a few, but just to remind us that, first of all, God's in control, and second of all, in Christ we can have hope. Let me read some of these to you. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. God's in control. God's not up there like, whoa, what's going on? I didn't see that coming. No, he's the one that is guiding history. That gives me hope. Romans 13:1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now here's the catch. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Do you believe that God's in control? Can you stop and say, okay, Lord, you've got this. This is part of your plan. Do you trust him? Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand. I love that. By faith, then we understand. It's not that we just in our own power can understand. It's by faith that we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God is in control. He's in control of all things, of all history. Do you believe this? Because that's where the hope and the joy and the happiness is going to come from. Do you trust this? We go beyond and we see, okay, we trust that God is in control. We see that he's sovereign, that he is pointing history and guiding history exactly the way he wants to. But we also see that where does our hope come from? It comes from Jesus Christ. Let's listen to these verses, Philippians 3:20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our bodies here are going to be changed. We're already in Christ if you're a believer, but eternally our citizenship is in heaven. Yes. John 10:10. The thief... That's Satan. The thief is the one that wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He's talking about Jesus. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The believer, those who have called on the name of the Lord, have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, the believer should be living in the second half of that verse. Because if you've been saved, the thief can't destroy you. You've been saved. And so because of Christ, he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. We can be living in that abundant life even now amongst the brokenness of this world. Are you hearing the hope that we have in Christ? Because who are going to be the messengers of this hope? Jesus has called us to be the church, to shine the light, to be a light on the hill, to be shining the light of the gospel. And if we're the ones down there like, oh, this is terrible. Here we go. This is off. I mean, where's the hope going to come from? Jesus is our hope. We should be living in that hope. This morning, we get to jump back into our series on the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And we just have a few more weeks left in this sermon. And if we kind of go back and remind ourselves, at the beginning of the sermon, Jesus gave us a picture in chapter 5, starting verse 1 there. He gives us a picture of what the character of a true believer looks like. And he showed that with the Beatitudes, right? Those beautiful attitudes. That's what the character of a Christ follower looks like. He then goes on and he reminds us that true believers in Christ, we are to be salt and light. So as we move into 2022, we as believers should be salt and light. We should be a preservative in this world, and we should be shining brightly the hope of the gospel to this dark world where people have no hope. Jesus goes on in the sermon to teach that believers are then to have a righteousness that far surpasses that of the religious leaders, that of religion. Far surpasses that of religious teachings. And Jesus didn't just stop there and say, that's what you're supposed to do. Then he gives us examples. He gave us example after example of what it looks like to live the disciples' life. I encourage you to go back to chapter 5 this week and just read back through the Sermon on the Mount as we catch up to where we are in chapter 7. Just kind of remind yourself of all that Jesus taught. And if you've got your notes, go back and kind of look at those. Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount. He gives us specific instructions. He didn't just say, well, do this. He says, do this, and then this is what it should look like. He gives us specific instructions on how to give out of the blessings that God's given us, how to pray, how to fast, how to handle and fight against materialism, how to handle the battle against worry and anxiety, the battle to judge others. Powerful, powerful teaching that Christ gives us. And again, we are reminded all the way through this sermon that we cannot fulfill these teachings on our own. We cannot fulfill these instructions or these commands. Only in Christ can we truly be salt and light. We cannot do it on our own. It has to be the power of Christ living in us, the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And so we must continue to come to Christ back in like verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1, in a poverty of spirit. And it's when we're in Christ, when we're abiding in Christ, we have hope, we have joy, we have happiness. In Christ, we can bring that hope to a lost world. Christ is teaching us that only in Him can we find salvation. Only in Him can we find this hope. And only Christ working through us can we truly shine this light to a lost world. So as we look at chapter 7, verse 12 this morning, before we read that, I want to give us a couple more verses to kind of surround our thought process as we look at this verse. Because the golden rule, anyone heard of the golden rule? Okay, maybe you have. But before we dive into this one verse, let me read you and remind you of a couple more things. Actually, no, let me read the verse to you. Look at verse 12. We'll read it again here in a second. Chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is all of it. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. So before we jump into that, let me give you another couple of passages that help us get a perspective of what Christ is teaching in all of Scripture. Philippians 2, 10 and 11. This is big time right here. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Every knee will bow at some point, one day. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is truth. There's been a lot of anger, resentment towards people in the last couple of years. I don't know if you guys have felt that. But we look at this passage and we say, okay, but one day every knee is going to bow. And maybe you're the one struggling with anger. You're like, yeah, take that. Yes, finally. But let's step back before you go there. How are we as believers supposed to live in light of that verse? Let's look at another verse. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9. Let's look at God's heart here. What about this passage? But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, can we take every knee shall bow, and can we put it with that verse and see what the Lord's heart is, that he desires people to be saved? And yes, one day every knee is going to bow, and there will be people that denied him, and they will bow. And he will say, depart from me, I don't know you. But God's heart is that people be saved, that not they should not perish. And he is being patient. He's being patient so that his followers will go and make disciples and share the love of Christ. God is holy. God is love. God is just. We got to understand all of that. And I hope that gives us an idea as we move into this verse, verse 12, on what it really means to love people and how to treat people. Because we, as followers of Christ, are to be his hands and feet. And Jesus, if we look at Jesus' life, and you look at the Gospels, Jesus continually modeled to us how to live out truth and love to people. And in verse 12 of chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, we get to see what that looks like just in this one verse. So again, let me read this verse. Verse 12, chapter 7. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the ability to gather, to worship you. I pray for those that are not here, that are online, or that are struggling through sickness, struggling through circumstances. God, I pray for this church family that we would seek your truth. We would hear it. You would speak to us. The Holy Spirit would affirm it, that we would live out your truth so we can truly shine the light of the gospel to a world that's hurting, a world that is broken, a world that is scared. Lord, let us see and catch a glimpse this morning of what that looks like as we live out your word. Speak to us this morning. We give you all the glory. This is your word. This is your truth. We trust in it. We believe in it. Help us to live it. Help us to believe it and then live it, God. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So we see this golden rule. We see this verse that helps us understand how are we to treat other people. How are we to treat others? That seems like an easy question, right? How do we treat them? Well, you should treat them good. But in this day and age, in this climate, in this culture, in this technology-driven world, that's a lot more complicated when we say, well, how do you treat people? How should a Christian treat other people? But here's also the other thing. It shouldn't be that complicated. It shouldn't be complicated. It should be easy for the believer. It should be easy to see that passage and to see how Jesus treated other people and go, oh, this is how I'm supposed to be. I think John MacArthur sums it up very well, very, very simply. He says this: the perfect love of the Heavenly Father is most reflected in his children when they treat others as they themselves wish to be treated. I think that's what a great statement. The perfect love of the Heavenly Father is most reflected when his followers, when we as believers are treating others as we want to be treated, as we're living out verse 12. Our graphic for this sermon on the turn them is that Clint walking stick designed for us. He used a mountain upside down, Sermon on the Mount, but the mountain is upside down. That's been flipped. I think someone flipped it. It's really the other way around. If you look on your bulletin, it's upside down. And the reason that he did that, the reason that we liked that is because Jesus was constantly turning the religious teachings of the scribes and Pharisees upside down. They're like, well, this is what the teaching is, and he would say, yeah, but let me turn that upside down. It goes farther than this. And he's doing it again right here, reminding us of something very important. Reminding us of something so important in regards to this verse. And we need to understand this. In regards to this verse, the unbeliever, those that do not know Jesus, the unbeliever has no capacity in themselves to love the way Jesus commands to love here. Only in Christ do believers have the capacity to love like Jesus loved others. Because, why is that? Because this type of love is unselfish. The unbeliever can't get there. Now, what's sad is that unbelievers oftentimes can get close morally. They can get pretty close. They can do some really good things, but they can't get to where Jesus has called us to be. And sometimes on the outside it looks like even unbelievers are treating others better than believers do sometimes. But ultimately we got to understand that the unbeliever has no capacity within themselves to ever truly love people the way Jesus has called us to love. It only happens Christ in us. Why? Again, it's going to come back to that word, unselfish. Unbelievers, those that do not have a relationship, they don't have this capacity, and we constantly see the effects of that, not being able to fully get there. Unbelievers can do good and ethical things. They can approach this type of love, but they cannot sustain it. They cannot sustain it within themselves. The world can try to be good, and we're seeing that a lot, this view that, oh, we're all just inherently good, and that's not true. That's not biblical. The world can try to be good. They can try to be tolerant. They can try to be woke. They can try to be respectful. They can try with all their might. They can try to pass legislature to achieve what they think are good things, but ultimately, without Christ, those systems all fail. They eventually fail. Because those without Christ will always come back ultimately to being selfish, because that's what we are without Jesus. And that is why these systems fall apart. Because without Christ, we are selfish. So the question is, what does this type of love look like for the believer? When Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What does this type of love look like to the believer? This golden rule is almost like a paraphrase of another, it's the second great commandment, Matthew 22:39, we see Jesus say, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Those really kind of make sense. They go hand in hand. What does this look like for the believer? East Point Church, what does this look like to East Point Church, to those of us that are here in this local body of believers? If we're going to truly make disciples, if we're going to truly be salt and light, if Jesus says be salt and light, if we're going to truly be salt and light in our neighborhoods, if our church is really going to go out and make disciples in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in the places that we work, and the places that we play, we are going to have to learn how to love people. We can't sit in here and just talk about people. We can't sit in here and just gripe about other things and other people. We're going to have to get up and walk out those doors and love people. That's how disciples are going to be made. That's how we are going to truly be light and to be salt. And so the golden rule instructs us, Jesus is instructing us how to love people. How do we treat people? How are we to treat people? One thing is this, how we treat people shouldn't be determined by how we expect them to treat us. Does that make sense? How we treat others, how we love people, should not be determined by how we think they ought to be treating us or how we think they should treat us. That shouldn't be come into play at all. It is how we wish or want them to treat us. There's a big difference. It's loving someone with nothing in return. Not loving someone with conditions. Like, well, I'll love you if you treat me this way, because you should. That has nothing to do with it. It's just to love people. And what's interesting is this was opposite, again, upside down, of what other religions were taught or being taught during that time period. There was a Jewish rabbi, there was a quote that from a Jewish rabbi from that time said, what is hateful to yourself, do not do to someone else. I mean, or Confucius, he said this, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. They sound right, they sound similar, but those are in the negative. They're kind of like, well, don't do something you wouldn't want done. I mean, what Jesus is saying, no, this is totally unselfish. You just love people, regardless of how they treat you back, because you know that's how you would want to be treated. You just love people. Similar, but they fall short of Christ's teaching here. And unbelievers, again, they it's hard for them to accomplish this and sustain it. But because they can only go so far, because ultimately selfishness, it all comes back to humans' self-interest. They can talk about being good, they can try to be good, but ultimately the lost person is all about themselves, right? And it eventually comes back to that. Because the problem with humans is we are selfish. Does anyone agree with that? Everything sinful that man does is out of his or her own self-interest. Even the way we try to love falls short because it's ultimately we're trying to get something for ourselves. So what's the answer to the problem? Sunday school answer? Jesus. Yeah. Why is that such a great answer? Because it works. It's because it's true. What is the answer to the sin problem? If sin is keeping us from truly loving the way God is commanding us to love here, what's the answer? It's Jesus. Only in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, that means Christ living within us. If you're a believer, Christ has saved you. He has sent the Holy Spirit to us. Christ lives in us. Only the power of Christ working through live out and love others the way Christ has called us to. Only in Christ can we truly love others and shine the light of the gospel to a lost world. Are we getting that? Because last week we gathered, the day after the second day of the year, we gathered here and we split up into groups and we prayed. We worshiped, we prayed, and we took communion together. We gathered and we as a body prayed that our church would be a light to this lost world. That 2022, God would give us opportunities to shine the light of Jesus to this lost world. And we said, Lord, help us to do this. But if we're going to do that, we have to learn to love like Christ. We have to love others selflessly. And that can only come from the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Loving people without any conditions. Loving people because we understand that they're lost and they need Jesus. We know this is of Christ because love is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's the first one listed. All right, this is where it's going to get personal, okay? I want you to hear this. From children to adults, all the way through, listen to this. It is very difficult to love like Christ if we are struggling with anger. Oh, there's more. It is really difficult to love other people when we are struggling with being content with what God has given us. Friends, Jesus says to love others, do whatever you whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. It is very difficult to love like that when we are struggling with unforgiveness. God, help us to be a church that shines the light of the gospel and loves others. It is very difficult to go out into this world and love other people when we are struggling with jealousy. Oh, God, help me, Lord, to be a light to this world. These are church phrases, right? Help me to go and make disciples, baptizing in the name. It's really hard to go do that when we're struggling with gossip and just talking about other people. God, help me to be a light. It's really difficult to love like this when we struggle with pride. Oh, I know all the answers. My way is the right way. It's really hard to love people when we struggle with that. We could go on. It is difficult to love others when we are struggling with selfishness, and that's what those all boil down to. We can talk a lot, we can gather and we can pray, but what it comes down to is we've got to be truly the hands and feet that walk out the doors. It's easy to come here and just talk about being light, right? Looking at Scripture, like, yes. Where does it get hard? It gets hard out there. It gets hard when you go to work tomorrow. It gets hard when you go, sometimes it gets hard as soon as you get in your car with your own family. Sometimes it gets hard when you just dealing with your extended family or going to school or whatever it is. That's where it gets difficult, because that's where the power of the Holy Spirit has to work in us, and we have to learn how to deal with our selfishness. We have to struggle and fight against that. How do we love others? If it's difficult to love with selfishness, how are we going to do it? We must be walking in the Spirit. We have to be walking in the Spirit, which means we have to be abiding in Christ. If this is the first time you've opened your Bible since last Sunday, it's going to be difficult to love people. We have to be abiding in Christ daily. We have to be talking to the Lord. We have to be we have to be walking in the Spirit. You know, guys, we have to be gathering together to worship and pray. We've got to see church as something that's not just this thing that we check off, you know, on our list. We got to see church as this community of believers that we get to gather and worship and praise the Lord and pray to Him and open His Word and study it and then walk out and go be Christ in this world. This is not a country club. This is not just something that we do that's a good thing. It's something that is vital to our walk with Christ. But then it's not just all here. It's also daily walking through the week. You see, when we are abiding, guess what happens? Here's what happens. When we are abiding daily, what happens? Something that we can't do apart from Christ. What happens is Christ begins to work through us on a daily basis. God begins to work. God begins to shape us. God begins to grow us. God begins to deal with those struggles of selfish, those sin issues in our life. God begins to work through us, and we can begin to love like He loves people. And then we begin to see people like He sees people. That's been such a crazy, terrible thing in the last, and it's been going on forever, I guess, but it's really seems to be ramped up in our lifetime in the last couple of years. We just began to hate people. Whatever side you're on, whatever you believe about this topic or this thing or that thing or whatever your politics are here, whatever this is over here, and we just began to hate people. What a terrible thing for the church to fall into that. When we abide in Christ, we begin to see people the way God sees people. And we begin to love people the way God loves people. What does Scripture tell us about loving others? Write these down. 1 John 4:19. We love because we were good enough to be loved. Is that what that, wait, did I read that right? We love because He first loved us. That's the answer. Not because we were good, not that we were religious or we had a church membership or we had a degree in whatever. We love because He first loved us. Aren't you thankful that He loved us first? Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How do we love other people? It's because if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's how we love others. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you see the power of that? We love because He loved us. And we are to love each other because He's loved us. And one of the defining ways that people out there that don't know Jesus will recognize that we are His is because of the way we love other people. Do we see how important that is? Do you see how damaging it is when we begin to treat people like they're below us, or that we gossip about people, or that we mean to people, that we say this about people. Do you see how damaging that is? Because that is not what Christ has called us to. Selfless love serves not for our own selves, but for the one being served. This is hard. Selfless love expects nothing in return. Man, we like to do things that are going to give us something back, right? We want to work so we can get paid. We want to invest in this so that we can make something out of it. We want to even have friends so that they can do stuff for us. Selfless love expects nothing in return. Divine love serves in the desire to see people saved. The love that Christ has called us to is a divine love that just desires that people know Jesus and experience the same love that we've been able to experience. And again, this love can only be achieved in Christ. You can't do this on your own. It always fails. It's only the Holy Spirit working through us. Start the new year off with a little tough questions, Pastor Chris. I think this passage deserves it because this is hard. The question is, it's really not that tough. It's just simple. Do we have this type of love? And only you can know that. You have to pray, and you have to be willing to humble yourself and say, Lord, do I really have this? Because it's easy, again, yeah, I go to church. That doesn't mean anything. Do you really have this type of love? Are you living this out daily? We must take a hard look at ourselves because, remember, it is hard or impossible to love others the way Christ commands if we are struggling with sin, if we're struggling with anger, unforgiveness, pride, jealousy, trust, self-esteem issues, all those things. If we're struggling with that, it is very difficult to love the way Christ has called us to. But here's the good news. You like good news? Yes, we love good news. The good news is this. Those tough questions are always meant to kind of go, oh, look at ourselves in the mirror and see. But there's always the good news is this. Christ can and will forgive us in those areas. If we say, it is hard for me to love because I am struggling with these sins, guess what? Christ can and will forgive us in these areas. Christ can bring healing to these areas of our lives. But we must repent. We must confess. We have to at least acknowledge, I see your truth, Jesus, that you have called me to love the way you've called to this divine love. I see the truth and I desire to do that, but I know that there are things getting in the way of that, and here's what they are, and I agree with you that these are sinful. I agree with you and I repent and I say I'm sorry and I ask for forgiveness and I confess these things. We have to do that. Then we have to seek him. We have to abide in him. We have to find healing in these very real areas of our life. And that's where we must start. Seriously, 2022, let me stand up here and give a vision for the church this year. Here's the thing. If we're going to pray, God, help us and help our church to shine the light and hope of the gospel this year. I mean, if we're going to say what we say every year, because that's what we do, right? It's a new year. Let us shine the light of the gospel. I've practiced that. I learned how to do that in seminary. Let us shine the light of the gospel to a lost world. If we're going to do that, then we must start with repentance and confession. Because we can't just keep walking out of here struggling with our own sins and really be a light to the gospel. We keep going, well, why aren't we seeing people saved? Why aren't this happening? It's got to start with repentance. It's got to start with us going, okay, Lord, I get it. We got to love people so we can tell them about the hope of Jesus, but I can't really love people until I deal with these things and I start working through these things that only you can forgive. and heal me of. It must start there. And then we must move to abiding. We've got to abide. We can't just stand up here and say, we must shine the light of the gospel and then not open our Bibles for the next week. We can't do that. We've got to seek him. And then in Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving in us, we can begin to love the way Christ tells us in this simple verse. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And I love the way he says at the end, it's like, for this is the law and the prophets. This is what it's all summed up in. As we close, let me read this verse again. I just let it sink in. John 13, 35 again. Just let this sink in. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Love one another just as I have loved you. Would you just stop and think about how he's loved you? Would you just stop and think of your life before Christ? Some of us have crazy, difficult, real testimonies of God pulling you out of whether it's drug addiction or craziness as an adult. Some of us were children, but we were all born into sin, right? We were all born into this depravity that we were apart from Jesus. Aren't you glad that he loved us first? Aren't you glad and thankful that he died on a cross for us? And so then Jesus says, love one another just as I have loved you. That is so hard if we think about it. We are to love others the way he loved us in our sin that brought us to repentance, that brought us to salvation. You are also to love, and here's what happens when we begin to do that. You are also to love one another. By this love of other people, divine love, selfless love, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples. That is powerful. By your love for others, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. What an incredible verse as we start 2022 to remind us as believers, to remind us as a church, what we are called to do as we go and shine the light of the gospel. Let that phrase, shine the light of the gospel, not just be something we use here, but let it be something we're living out. Let's pray. Do you know Jesus? It starts there, a relationship with Christ. You'll never really be able to love others without a relationship with Christ. If you feel Christ calling you to salvation, calling you to be his child, trust in him today. If you need to talk to someone, I will be here. If you just want to flesh that out, work through it, discuss it, it's really just simple faith, but sometimes we just need to talk through it. If you're feeling that call, if you're online and you need to call the church. For many of us who are believers, we've got to look at ourselves. We've got to look inside and say, okay, Jesus, this is what you're calling me to, but there are things that are blocking that because of sin. It's hard to love people when we don't like people. It's hard to love people when we're angry at people. It's hard to love people when we can't forgive others. It's hard to love people when we're jealous of everybody else or we want to put ourselves up. It's just hard to do that. So God, help us to see where we need to repent and confess. And then some of us be even beyond that. We need to be seeking the Lord daily because that's where we are attached to the vine and Christ works through us. I've noticed in my own life when I'm consistent in my daily walk, I see things more clearly. I see the hurt clearer. I'm more sensitive to what God is doing and the people around me daily. If we're going to be a church that shines the light of the gospel, even in the midst of a pandemic and in the midst of another wave of the virus, even in the midst of craziness and financial and just uncertainty, we've got to love people the way Christ has called us to love. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for a challenging yet encouraging and hopeful verse from your teaching. God, I know you're working in our hearts, Lord, and so I just pray that you would continue to do that as we respond and as we worship and as we continue to thank you for your love for us. It's in Christ's name we pray.